Anyway, so I'm going to talk to you for a minute about the reading that we, the first reading that we had from the book of Exodus. So the current Archbishop of Canterbury, somebody asked him a number of years ago who was the person that he admired the most. And I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe it was, Thomas Becket, another Archbishop of Canterbury who was martyred, or maybe it was Mother Teresa, or I don't know, maybe it was some great theologian or something. But he said this is the person who I admired the most, and it was someone that I had never heard of. And this is the person who it is. In 1975, and it was the end of the Vietnam War, and Saigon fell to North Vietnamese troops, however you want to put that. And one of the things they did, because this is a militantly atheistic regime, is they started to arrest the clergy. There were a lot of Roman Catholics in Vietnam. And one of the people they arrested was the Roman Catholic bishop. Can't remember what he was bishop of, maybe Bishop of Saigon. Roman Catholic bishop, and they put him alone in a jail cell and kept him there for a very long time. This is the person that Archbishop Welby said he admired the most, and kept him there for a very long time by himself. Didn't have a prayer book, didn't have a great music stand like this to preach from, didn't have a gospel book, didn't have any vestments, didn't have any bread or wine, didn't have a Bible. But what he did every day is, of course, he'd celebrated the Eucharist innumerable times. And what he did is, by memory, he would celebrate the Eucharist every day. And didn't have any bread or wine. And often all he would have is a single grain of rice, he said, and a little bit of rice wine. And the vessels were his hands. And he remembered the Eucharistic prayer, which he said. And each day he offered this with the sacrifice of the Eucharist. And so the contrast here is between a larger, fairly large totalitarian state and this isolated man alone in his cell with just one single grain of rice and a little bit of rice wine, completely powerless. Stayed that way for a long time, although things started to change, which I'll come back to in a second. So the situation in Exodus is similar in a way, and that is you have a very large state, one of the great empires of the ancient world, the Egyptian Empire. I'm sure some people think maybe it's Ramesses II, if you're into Egyptian history, the height of the Egyptian Empire. If you kind of look on the internet, you'll see these huge statues of Ramesses II down in the southern part of Egypt. And there's even one carving of Ramesses II worshiping a statue of himself. That is how much. So the Pharaoh was not just like God or the son of God. The Pharaoh was a god. And in fact, in a way, he was all the gods who were present. And so you have the contrast of this powerful state ruled by a god. And you'll notice here that God's argument is with the gods of Egypt. I don't know if you noticed that in the reading. With the gods of Egypt, powerful state, and then you have Hebrew people who are slaves, not living in presumably little slave huts of some kind, and just living out their lives very humbly and in servitude. They're asked to do something as well, very small, like that Vietnamese bishop, something very small, and the thing they're asked to do is to prepare a meal. And that, what it is, a Passover meal, a meal of lamb and unleavened bread. You heard the details of it. Perform a certain rituals, like put the blood of the lamb on the door frame and the lintels of the house. And just very, very small and very simple. But the Lord, through Moses, tells these enslaved people in their little places, little houses, in the midst of this huge empire, if you do this, it will save you. If you perform this ritual, eat this meal, it will save you. And so if we know the rest of the story, we will see that in fact, God brought down the gods of Egypt, that And there's a remarkable scene. The Pharaoh goes to Moses and goes, ask God to bless me. Can you imagine somebody who's worshiping his own statue going humbly to Moses and saying, ask God to bless me. So the powers of this great empire are defeated by these very simple people in their very simple little houses doing this very simple little meal. And so we can say, I don't know, anybody thought about Ramesses II a lot lately? Put up your hand if he's been in your thoughts. Well, he's been in mine. I've been listening to this Ancient Egypt podcast. But anyway, he's been in my mind. Nobody else really interested in Ramesses II too much? No, we don't really think about Ramesses II much anymore, do we? As a matter of fact, we don't even think of who the Roman emperor was when Jesus instituted his own Passover meal, which is what we have tonight. Jesus is at the Passover, the same meal with his disciples, the same Passover meal that was instituted to overthrow the powers of Egypt. And who was the Roman emperor at that time? I should know this. I took classics in university. Tiberius? Claudius? We don't even know. Yeah, even the clergy don't even know who it was. So that's how insignificant. We're going to discuss this later, but we don't remember that either. What we remember is this insignificant man about to be executed as a slave, the execution reserved for slaves, in this tiny little room performing this meal. That would save us. So this bishop, whose name I wish I'd written down, every day celebrated the Eucharist in his very humble way, offered this sacrifice every little day, every day. And then something started to happen, and that his guards started to feel compelled to talk to him. They asked him about his faith, and he prepared some for baptism. He began to teach others theology, and he prepared them for ordination to the priesthood, which he did out of his isolated little cell, secretly preparing these men for the priesthood. And eventually was released under John Paul II, became a cardinal. So just think, if anybody ever tells us that we are insignificant as people, or that our homes or our families are insignificant, or that our little church is not significant, then just say to them, here's something I'd like you to read. Ever hear of Ramesses II? And here's something I'd like you to see. The same meal that we have been celebrating for 2,000 years. And the Jewish people, in its previous format, have been celebrating for 3,000 years and continue to do so. Every year, as we recall, it's the institution of the Eucharist again today. So, in our own little lives, think of that bishop by himself. Every reason to be completely hopeless, just continuing to faithfully celebrate the Eucharist in a way that was almost impossible, faithfully each day, and that power reaching out to those around him, and drawing him in and transforming them to the point where again, he secretly ordained some of them as priests. So today we thank God that God does not look on the great and the powerful. He looks on us, his people, and that this meal that we celebrate has the power to undermine empires and to overthrow Satan. Amen.